Live from the greatest city, the greatest state, and the greatest country on the second greatest planet in the solar system. It's episode number 547 of the award-winning Midday with Trey and BK. On today's show, at 11:45, our Wednesday Power Rankings lists our favorite musical decades. I guess going back to the 1950s, I guess an argument could be made for the 1920s or 10s or even going back to the 1800s. Mine stops at the 60s. At 11:30, where are we at in society? As the Jim Carrey character in Dumb and Dumber once said, senior citizens, while slow and dangerous behind the wheel, can still serve a purpose. That purpose in Florida? Nursing home fight club. And in mere minutes, the Astros move a step closer to another World Series appearance. Jalen Ramsey gets his wish, and we're still dissecting the Longhorns' loss to OU. I'm Trey Elling. Behind the glass today, it's the Horn fantasy sports expert and one-time gigolo, Adam Wagner. What's up, Wags?
What's up, boys?
And the one Jew in a sea of Gentiles here at the Horn, living a trucker lifestyle that includes the fastest cattle prod this side of Dirty Sixth. He is Brad Kellner.
Everybody on? Good. Great. Grand. Wonderful.
I want us to be together forever.
No yelling on the bus!
I don't even remember what that was about, BK. How you doing today?
Doing all right. A little bit under the weather. Feel like I've been hanging out with Sam Darnold a little bit too much.
Enlarged spleen on you, I see.
Enlarged spleen. Now, I've already had mono once. I've already been the mono boy once and passed that title along to Mr. Darnold. But under the weather a little bit, but we're going to power through today. And we've got some breaking news to begin today's program. Game 4 of the American League Championship Series between the Houston Astros and the New York Yankees has been postponed due to inclement weather expected in New York tonight.
So does this shift the entire series?
It does not.
Okay.
As of right now, assuming no more games are postponed, which we're only expecting bad weather tonight in New York. Now, there was a 30-minute or so delay in last night's game, which was kind of unexpected. So we're talking about the weather here. You can never really predict it, even though guys get paid a lot of money to try to predict it. As of now, if there are no more postponed games, the two teams would lose their travel day. So games 4, 5, and if necessary, 6 and 7 would be on four consecutive days.
Well, fortunately, we are in the 2019 year, not back in the early 1900s where these guys are having to travel by train or horseback to get from New York to Houston. It's a much more manageable deal versus what it would have been 50 plus years ago.
No doubt about it. Now, Astros get the win yesterday in Game 3, 4-1, behind another phenomenal performance by Gerrit Cole. Not as dominant as what we saw against the Tampa Bay Rays, but I would argue more impressive from Gerrit Cole, because it was clear he did not have his best stuff, definitely didn't have his best command. 5 walks last night, got into some jams, but was able to work himself out of those jams against a vaunted Yankees lineup. 0 runs, 7 scoreless innings for Gerrit Cole. And even though his streak of 11 consecutive games with 10 or more strikeouts comes to an end, he was still really, really good last night. A big-time win for the Houston Astros, who take a 2-1 series lead.
Tied a career high for walks and just did a fantastic job of pitching around trouble. And even though there were guys getting on bases in innings and it seemed like the Yankees had some opportunities right there in front of them, they were never able to capitalize. Whereas the Astros did enough on offense. It has not been a great postseason showing for this offense over the entire course of these first 2 rounds of the playoffs, but they have done enough. And it started out with Altuve with a no-doubter. Early on, Josh Reddick followed that one up. That guy loves hitting against Severino. He did his thing and just mashed one to the second deck in right field. And then the Astros added a couple of insurance runs later in that ballgame, too. But with Gerrit Cole on the mound, even not pitching like his normal dominant self, all it took was the one run. I know they ended up needing 2 after the bullpen came in and gave up a run, but Gerrit Cole does not take much in run support for him to win another game, which is the consistent theme going back to May now.
Yeah, how about this? Gerrit Cole so far this postseason, 22 2/3 innings pitched, 10 hits, one earned run allowed, 32 strikeouts. I mean, that's as good as it gets. And you're right, the Houston Astros, Gerrit Cole himself has not lost a start since the end of May, like on his win-loss record, but the Houston Astros as a team have not lost a Gerrit Cole start since July 12th. That was 17 starts ago. I don't want to call anybody a guaranteed automatic win in Major League Baseball, but that's what Gerrit Cole has been.
Yeah.
And he's doing that in the playoffs, too, and the intensity and the pressure is sky high. I was curious to see how his stuff would translate on the road, not playing inside like he did against Tampa for those two starts in Houston in the first series. He was really, really good last night. And now the question becomes, who gets the advantage? Because Game 4 was postponed, if you're just joining us. So Game 4 between the Astros and Yankees will be tomorrow night instead of tonight. Now that means you don't have to see Urquidy, and the Yankees don't have to go with this bullpen game that was expected to happen tonight. Now Game 4, Tanaka's likely to pitch for the Yankees on his normal rest, and Greinke, who started Game 1, hasn't been great in his two postseason starts, but he'll be on regular rest for tomorrow. So perhaps advantage Yankees there, but what this gives you Justin Verlander in Game 5 versus having to wait for Game 6. And now if you're the Astros, if you can win that Verlander start in Game 5, you're up 3-2 with two opportunities to win in your home ballpark. And yeah, oh, by the way, Gerrit Cole will be pitching one of those games. So I do think this postponement might not be an advantage for the Astros tomorrow, but in the long term, for the rest of the series, I think this is a benefit for Houston.
Yeah, and getting Gerrit Cole to pitch his next game in Houston, as good as he's been overall, he has been that much better at home, which is normally expected. Guys, typically, their splits play out to where they're better at home versus on the road. I mean, you have to count that as a win for the Astros right now. So the Yankees have to win the next two.
Yeah.
They have to figure out a way to win tomorrow night and also the other game in New York before, hopefully for them, forcing things back to Houston for a Game 6 and possibly 7.
Yeah, the Yankees winning two in a row against this Astros team would have been difficult regardless, but now one of those two is likely to be against Justin Verlander,
yeah,
which makes things way more difficult. So even without the postponement, you know, the Yankees seem to be in some trouble, and now Verlander can pitch in New York. That's a tough one for the Yankees. And oh, by the way, winner of Game 3 in a best-of-7 MLB series, whether it's the CS or the World Series, goes on and wins the series about 69.5% of the time.
I'd be curious to see how A.J. Hinch plays Game 6 versus Game 7 in terms of which he chooses to start Gerrit Cole for, and I'm guessing it has to do with whether or not they are up heading back to Houston versus down a game.
I don't think it matters. I think Gerrit Cole is pitching. You want him on regular rest. You don't want to mess up his psyche. And
right,
Game 6 would put him on regular rest. You don't want to push him back a day to Game 7.
I think Game 7 puts him on regular rest.
Oh, with the postponement?
Right.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right. I beg your pardon. Yeah,
so
Game 7 would. So perhaps, Game 6 could be this bullpen type of game.
Perhaps they just try and close it out right there and go with Game 6 and understand he might not be able to give them as much in terms of pitches in that game, because you never want to take an opportunity for granted if you have the opportunity to close the opposition out. But then again, if they're trailing going back to Houston, which I don't think is going to happen, I think if anything, they either close it out over the next two games or they go back to Houston up 3-2. If they're up 3-2, I'm guessing they save Gerrit Cole for Game 7. If they're down 3-2, they probably choose to pitch Gerrit Cole in Game 6.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. My apologies on that mix-up. You're right. Regular rest for Gerrit Cole would be Game 7 if this series gets to a Game 7. But Game 4 has been postponed. It'll now be tomorrow night, a little after 7 o'clock Central Time, versus tonight when Game 4 was originally scheduled. So there you go. The Astros get the win yesterday, 4-1. Man, the Yankees bullpen, 4 days in a row. That's going to be a lot of work for them. This is where your rotation advantage, if you're Houston, really comes into play, because you lose that travel day with Game 4 getting pushed back. What we do know, Trey, the winner of this series will play the Washington Nationals.
How about it?
Washington Nationals, baby!
The Washington Nationals, baby. Thank you, Bryce Harper, for that. How about that? Today's Bryce Harper's birthday. Did you know that?
Mm.
The Nationals win the pennant yesterday, and then today is Bryce Harper's birthday.
Now, let's go!
He's got 330 million reasons to not be too upset. with what happened with the Nats last night and this season, but a little bit of icing on the cake, I think, for Nats fans. A dominant series sweep for the Nationals. They win last night's game 7-4. The Nats were up 7-0 after the first inning last night. Cards came back. They had their opportunities in the later innings, but the Washington bullpen, which was the biggest question mark for this team going into the postseason, they got the job done. The Nats, they knock out the 106-win Dodgers. They sweep the Cardinals. Do we have a team of destiny in our nation's capital this year, Trey?
It certainly feels like it. I wonder with Bryce Harper whether he is more upset that he's not a part of this right now, or he is versus being happy for the guys that, excuse me, that he used to play with.
Nice job!
He doesn't strike me as a petty dude necessarily in terms of the guys that he plays the game with, but it is funny that he leaves to go chasing a championship, and the Nats, who were not very good to start the year, they started very slowly, were able to turn things around, and now they're playing in the first World Series in the long and storied history of the Washington Nationals, going all the way back 15 years.
The 330 mil helps, yeah. But I'm sure he's a little bitter.
330 mil helps, and if you do count the fact that the Nationals were the Expos before they moved to D.C., it does string things out a little bit more. But this is a fan base that, even though they haven't been around for all that long, they've been fairly tortured in the postseason.
Oh, yeah.
Including in this decade, suffering heartbreak after heartbreak. So to see them react, to get to experience the joy of their team making it to a World Series is pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm rooting for them over the Cardinals, but come on, D.C. just had a championship 2 years ago with the Capitals. That fan base, they dealt
it's
with some torture in baseball,
yeah.
But come on, man. But no, you're right. They have been through some postseason torture. There's no doubt about it. And how about this stat? This is remarkable. It just shows how bad of a start the Nationals got off to this year, and the fact that they're in the World Series is pretty remarkable. The Detroit Tigers finished the year with the worst record in Major League Baseball. They went 47-114. On June 1st, they had the same number of losses as the Washington Nationals did.
Mm.
One team is playing in the World Series, the other team has the number one overall pick in the draft. That is phenomenal. And for 143 years, it's been the National League. But last night, it was the Nationals League, Trey.
Hey, I see what you did there.
How about that? And now the Seattle Mariners are the only Major League Baseball franchise without a World Series berth. But just to tell you how dominant the Nationals were in these four games, the Cardinals as a team batted 130. In the National League Championship Series. During the regular season, pitchers across Major League Baseball hit 128. So basically, the Cardinals were trotting up 9 pitchers in this series every night. That is how poorly they hit. Give the Nats credit, but I don't know what happened to the Cardinals' bats. They disappeared after that Game 5 against the Braves.
Yeah, even though they were great against the Braves in Game 5, it just didn't strike me as this great lineup. And I think they really benefited in getting into the postseason by the simple notion that they got to face a slumping Cubs team a lot down the stretch, and that really helped boost them to have enough in terms of wins to make it into that wild card game. And they certainly made the most of that by beating the Braves in the NLDS, but they ran into a buzzsaw with the Nationals, despite the fact that the Nationals themselves had dealt with struggles this year, and you just got to credit Washington. They did a great job. Their lineup was good. Their starting pitching was good. Even the bullpen calmed down and turned into a steadying influence versus the biggest question mark for this team entering October.
Yeah, the Cardinals get swept. You just hate to see it. That's one thing Rangers and Astros fans can agree on, is some disdain for that ball club.
They never win another World Series again. I think you and I will be totally fine with that.
I would be very happy with that. So the Nats are in. They win the National League pennant, and they will be the road team. So game 1 and 2 of the World Series will be either at Minute Maid Park or at Yankee Stadium. And the breaking news in the ALCS, once again, game 4 of Astros-Yankees has been postponed. It will not be tonight. It will be tomorrow night, where the Astros will try to extend their lead to 3-1. Over the Bronx Bombers. It is midday with Trey and BK. The Specs text line is open, 337-3776. Trey had some pretty big news drop after the conclusion of our show yesterday in the National Football League. A blockbuster trade in the NFL as Jalen Ramsey, All-Pro cornerback of the Jacksonville Jaguars, was sent to the Los Angeles Rams in exchange for a couple of first-round picks and a fourth-round pick. The Rams bolster their defense. They now have Jalen Ramsey and Aaron Donald on the same defensive unit. That is a scary thought. But your thoughts, initial thoughts on the Rams' acquisition to get Jalen Ramsey from Jacksonville?
Short term, it's a great deal for the Rams. They needed to figure something out, especially in that secondary that has struggled mightily over the last couple of weeks. And in the process, they get rid of a guy that I think has really stunk for them over the last 2 years in dealing Peters to Baltimore, another team that's had all sorts of issues in their secondary this year. And even though I like this deal in terms of what the Rams are doing right now and their attempt to get things back on track, I just don't know if this was a smart move for them long term. They have now invested a lot in guys over the next several years that have major question marks. But they need to try and lock up Jalen Ramsey long-term now, too, considering how much they gave up for him. He hasn't agreed to a contract extension just yet, and there's a chance that he chooses to walk after this year. And if that happens, this turns into an awful deal for the Rams if they don't win the Super Bowl in 2019.
If you do a Google search for Rams first-round picks, you will get no results because they just haven't had any. They've traded away all their future first-round picks. They are going for win now. I mean, they believe that their Super Bowl window is right now. They traded their first-round pick in 2020 and 2021. They've already given away their last couple of first-round picks. They are mortgaging their future to win right now. And does the salary cap not apply to the LA Rams?
I don't understand
that. Because obviously they would not have made this trade if they didn't believe that they could sign Jalen Ramsey to a long-term contract. I think they can and they will. But they have like a separate bank in Zurich? Like, what is happening here? Where are they getting all this money that other teams seemingly don't have? Hey, like, deal after deal with Gurley, with Goff, with Brandon Cooks, with Higbee, with Aaron Donald, now with Jalen Ramsey. Like, where is this money coming from? How are they doing this? Number one. And number two, how screwed are the Rams in like 2 or 3 years if this doesn't work out? And oh, by the way, Trey, look, the top five teams in the NFC right now, I have this list pulled up. Let me see if I can find it. The top five teams in the NFC right now, I don't know if the Rams are in that conversation.
No, they're not.
I don't think after this trade, the Rams are in this conversation either. Like, I would still put New Orleans ahead of them. I would still put San Francisco, who just went into LA and beat the Rams ahead of them. I'd put Seattle ahead of the Rams.
Yep.
I'd put Green Bay ahead of the Rams.
Yep.
So maybe before the trade, maybe they're the fifth best team in the NFC. I mean, Philly and Chicago and Dallas and Carolina, Minnesota, all of those teams are kind of in that conversation as well. So I don't know if the Rams were the obvious fifth best team in the NFC. Even after this Jalen Ramsey trade, I'm not sure what the Rams are. I don't know if they're better than any of those four teams I mentioned.
Well, part of the reason for that, BK, is that even though this trade is a good one in terms of bringing a superstar to your defense, the biggest issue for LA right now is what's happening on their offensive line.
Yeah.
And Jared Goff certainly hasn't been great. Part of the problem has been the fact that he's gotten no blocking up front. And it's also affected the passing game, too. So unless they work a deal for an offensive lineman or miraculously come around with the group that they have now, they're going to continue to struggle on that side of the ball, which is especially shocking considering that that is Sean McVay's bread and butter.
Yeah, Jared Goff has really struggled this year. But you're right, their offensive line ranks 31st out of 32 teams, according to Pro Football Focus. That was one of the most dominant offensive lines in football last year. And they didn't really lose anybody. Like, no one could quite figure out why their offensive line is struggling as much as it is. But you add that with the fact that Todd Gurley isn't 100%. He's missing games. Who knows if he'll ever be back to being 100% again. Jared Goff doesn't look to be the same player. Yeah, I don't know. Like, the problem for the Rams has not been its defense. Now, their secondary hasn't been great, and there's no doubt Jalen Ramsey is an upgrade over Marcus Peters, both as a player and, believe it or not, in the locker room, which is crazy considering how much of a nut job Jalen Ramsey can be at times. But I just don't know if this makes the Rams a whole lot better of a football team. Now, they did acquire Austin Corbett from the Browns yesterday, who 2 years ago was the first pick in the second round of the draft. But that dude has been inactive just about every game for the Browns this year. We know how many troubles the Browns have had on the offensive side of the football. So, yeah, unless the Rams can figure out their offense, I don't know if this Jalen Ramsey trade really bolsters the Rams' playoff chances or their ability to win the NFC West.
Unfortunately for them, it also is maybe something that just allowed them to keep pace with what they were doing right now, because Aqib Talib is now on IR.
Yeah,
and they're hoping to get him back later in the year, but there was no way they were going to roll with Marcus Peters as their number one cornerback going forward. That was going to be a huge issue for that defense.
Man, how many teams has Marcus Peters been on? That guy seems
three
to be
now, right?
An all-pro type of talent.
With Kansas City, he was, and it just all fell apart last year for whatever reason. As soon as he went to L.A., all of a sudden he lost his abilities. Yeah,
Kansas City, L.A., Baltimore, maybe it's more of an up-here thing or a head case type of thing than a talent issue for Marcus Peters. So, yeah, I mean, Jalen Ramsey, I would guess his back is going to be miraculously healed. I would guess there's not going to be any sudden births of children for the Ramsey family that we've experienced over the last couple of weeks. He did actually have a kid, right, when he missed a game?
I hope, because that reason was certainly used for him missing practice time in a game.
It's crazy.
He's lying about that one. That is not good.
But he is a hell of a player, man. 24 years old, under contract for another year past this one. Two-time Pro Bowler, one-time first-team All-Pro. He's a lockdown corner. But once again, I just don't know if this makes the Rams a whole lot better of a football team. They've got to address the offense, which is crazy considering where this team was offensively a year ago. All right, it's midday with Trey and BK. We'll take your thoughts. The Specs text line 337-3776. By the way, the Cowboys will play the Rams in December, so the boys will get to see Jalen Ramsey and that new-look Rams secondary. That defense continues to load itself up with talent, and somehow the salary cap does not apply to the Rams. But we'll take your thoughts on the Rams and also the postseason baseball news. Once again, Game 4 of the ALCS has been postponed until tomorrow night. It is midday with Trey and BK. We've got Where Are We At in Society coming up. Trey, you're going to have to help me on this one, man. What was your tease for today?
Nursing home fight club in Florida.
Nursing home fight club in Florida. Oh, my goodness. And also, hey, college basketball right around the corner. The preseason All-Big 12 team has been released in college hoops, and a Longhorn made the cut. We'll tell you who.
Ish.
Next.
Back here on Midday with Trey and BK. Join Rod Babers this afternoon at 7-Eleven at 614 East Koenig Lane from 1 all the way until 5 o'clock. Of course, he's doing the Rodcast from 1 to 3. Hanging out after 3 all the way until 5. That's at Koenig and Burnett, I believe. Stop by, check out some samples from some of the best tailgating vendors around. That includes Recover 180, Tivana, and Highball Energy. Find out more details on the events calendar at hornfm.com.
All right, Trey, I teased it before the commercial break. And look, we are in the midst of college football season. We talk a lot of college football. We will continue to talk a lot of college football. But college basketball is right around the corner.
Right around the corner? It's not even close to March yet.
You know how much I hate that. You know how much I hate fans like you, man. College basketball is great. Starting in November, you don't have to wait till January. You don't have to wait until Selection Sunday before you get all in on college hoops. It starts 20 days from now, people.
Yeah, the first UT game is actually way earlier this year than I remember.
November 5th, right?
Yeah.
20 days from now, the college basketball season will commence. And today, the Big 12 has announced its preseason award winners. This is voted on by head coaches. There's no media poll in college basketball in the Big 12. These are all head coach based, and you cannot vote for players on your own team. Preseason player of the year, Udoka Azubuike from Kansas.
No shock.
The preseason all Big 12 first team, Azubuike, Devon Dotson, both KU, Desmond Bain from TCU, Tyrese Halliburton of Iowa State, and Tristan Clark of Baylor. And then there is one Longhorn on the honorable mention list. Now, there are 8 players on the honorable mention team, and there's no second team. It's preseason All-Big 12 first team, and then honorable mention, Matt Coleman, the junior point guard, an honorable mention preseason Big 12 player going into the 19-20 season.
This is a big year for him, because this really is his basketball team now, and some may argue that Courtney Ramey may be better suited to run the offense on a consistent basis, but Matt Coleman is the upperclass leader of what is going to be a fairly young roster for the Longhorns.
20 days till the start of college basketball season.
So somebody else that you think may deserve some consideration for All Big 12 honorable mention on the UT roster?
I don't know.
I think Ramey might deserve some. And I think when it's all said and done, in terms of this season, Gerald Liddell is a guy who will have turned some heads and at least gotten to that point his development.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of young, unproven commodities across this conference that are on the honorable mention list, but Texas has a lot of young, unproven commodities themselves. So I'm not sure what to expect from this team this year. Coming off of a very disappointing 2018-2019 season, which culminated in an NIT championship.
God, please just don't even mention that. That's so embarrassing.
I feel the same way you do. But there's probably going to be a banner hung at the Irwin Center for that, just to give you a heads up.
Can we at least diminish it to like a patch on the uniform or something for like the opening game and then remove the patch?
We wore the patch during the tournament itself. I think that's enough right there. 20 days away from the start of Texas Longhorn basketball season. That's enough college basketball talk in the middle of October. All right, it's midday with Trey and BK, a little after 11:30, which means it is time for...
Where are we at in society today?
This segment brought to you by Student Loan Payment Lawn Care. Call or text Jake today for a free estimate, 512-653-0687. First-time clients receive 25% off. Visit slplawncare.com for more details.
That is correct, slplawncare.com. They can come mow your lawn. They can trim trees and bushes. They can rake leaves, clear debris, and more. You get 25% off that first job when you go to slplawncare.com. Get on the schedule for Jake and his crew. BK, you weren't a fan of the movie Fight Club.
Nope.
Overrated. Do you think that you might have enjoyed it more if it involved senior citizens and was set in a nursing home?
Yes. I think I would.
Well, then I have a story for you. Three staff members at a... I said Florida earlier. It's actually North Carolina nursing home.
How about that? That's a wild card.
Are accused of encouraging patients to get into fights for their own entertainment. Denisha Deshaun Jordan, Tanasia Yvonne Tyson, and Marilyn
Tyson.
Latish McKee were all arrested after using dementia patients for a fighting ring.
Jesus.
Oh, so those three names that you just listed were the organizers.
Yes, they were.
They were not the fighters of Old Folk Fight Club.
Nope.
They were the organizers, the creators of Old Folk Fight Club, OFFC.
Yes, Tanisha Deshaun Jordan, Tanasia Yvonne Tyson, and Marilyn Latish McKee were the nursing home employees involved here. The patients were encouraged and allowed to get into fights, and the accused staffers took videos on the fights, didn't try and break them up. In all likelihood, they were also gambling on the fights as they went on.
How long did this go on before they were caught?
It went on for several weeks.
Wow.
Before they were caught. Now all three women are facing misdemeanor assault charges.
That's all it is?
As a result.
A misdemeanor charge?
I would.
For organizing a senior citizen fight club?
I'm shocked.
Are we too easy on our olds?
How do you mean?
Criminally speaking. Like, is that, if I organized a fight club right now with not old people.
With, like, transients living below Ben White.
Sure. Would it just be a misdemeanor charge for me?
I guess so.
Is that it?
Like, it seems like it should be more serious.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not just because they're involving old people at a place that they work, so they're taking advantage of that.
Dementia patients, dude.
But to also do it with dementia patients, too. Like, honest question, did they really think that using dementia patients was the key here? Like,
they wouldn't remember it.
These people would fight and forget about it?
Yeah, they wouldn't rat them out if you use dementia patients.
Because that's extra despicable.
The Alzheimer's patients, you're going to be okay.
Yeah.
Well, that is super despicable, but also super hilarious, man. Are you kidding me? Is there any video of this? Please.
The video has not been released to the public as far as
even
I know.
Even from their old flip phones with the 1.3 megapixel cameras that all the senior citizens have at the old folks' home?
It's not the olds that are filming
this. My grandpa
this.
Lives at one of those, man. I got to try to encourage him to start one of these bad boys.
Have you visited your grandpa in the nursing home?
Yeah, a couple times, for
have
sure.
Have you seen some of the potential competition? Like, do you have faith that your grandpa could beat some ass?
Well, he's got a walker and a cane, so I feel like he could at least use those as potential weapons.
Weapons are allowed.
Okay. Then yeah, I think he's got a shot.
And by the way,
he's pretty sprightly for his age, I would say.
I'm assuming that Tanisha...
I'm going to send him this segment, by the way, as encouragement to start off the Fight Club. And this is in Houston, too, so we're going to get the state of Texas in on the old folks' Fight Club, the OFFC.
I'm assuming that Tanisha, and Marilyn don't have the flip phones. I'm assuming that they are using modern technologies to where we could actually get the less grainy video.
Oh, what are you saying? Flip phone is pretty modern technology, sir, is it not? Are we at the point where like 10 years ago is no longer modern technology?
Correct. When it comes to that technology?
I want to go back to the Motorola Razr still. I'm still looking for one of those.
Are you though?
Not really. Not really. Wow. Senior citizen. So is the first rule of Old Folk Fight Club? Don't talk about Old Folk Fight Club? That's tough to say. I feel like Wags might need to be on the dump button. I keep saying folk.
Yeah.
The way I'm saying it. The first dangerous rule, word for radio.
First rule of Old Person Fight Club is indeed don't talk about Old Person Fight Club. Second rule of Old Person Fight Club is don't bleep yourself, which is broken quite frequently
in
Old Person Fight Club.
Don't have a blue situation from the movie Old School. We can't have any casualties.
Just ring the bell.
We can't have any casualties here.
That's
a little bit different because it was sorority girls versus an old man, not old people versus old people. But we can't have any casualties, and you're way more likely to have that in Old Folk Fight Club than Brad Pitt Fight Club.
Look, you're running a high risk of that when you're asking old people to do any sort of physical activity.
Well, as long as they're not driving, as long as they have the Fight Club in the senior citizen home, then I think everybody in the outside world is safe.
Hide all the batteries around the nursing home for any of the non-participants who are just viewing the fight to where they don't take that opportunity to steal batteries.
I'm trying to think of like old person stereotypes or what your grandparents would make you do if you got in trouble. Like if you lose, you have to put a bar of soap in your mouth or something like that.
Yeah.
Or whatever old folks used to do. Winter gets some cookies.
The bar of soap.
Did you ever have to deal with that? Bar of soap in your mouth?
Oh, yeah. I had to deal with the bar of soap. It wasn't my grandparents that made me do it, though. It was my mom, and I had a filthy mouth as a kid.
I don't think I ever had that. I think that bit sort of passed.
Think the old person move is also the, well, hopefully former Adrian Peterson move, where you have the kid go break off a switch off of a tree.
Mm.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that. Pick out your own belt?
Pick out the belt. My favorite memory of getting spanked as a kid... And this is a contentious subject here because I know there's some people that consider it capital punishment. Well, some kids are real jerks and they kind of deserve to be spanked. I was one of those kids. My favorite memory of being spanked as a kid, though, because we would go back and forth between the belt, which is a little bit excessive, and then the wooden spoon, which does sting, but it may not necessarily leave the welt.
The pasta spoon.
The pasta spoon?
Yeah, the wooden...
With the claws?
The wooden spoon. It didn't have a claw. No,
oh, okay.
It's just a little spoon.
The wooden spoon.
I got the electric beater.
Explain, please.
The you plug it in and you turn it on. The electric mixer.
Oh my
mixer?
Gosh!
No, I'm kidding.
She wants you just put it up against your. Anyhow,
oh, that would hurt.
So the last time I ever got spanked, my mom tried to use the wooden spoon on me, and I was probably 11 or 12 at the time. My two younger brothers were sitting there watching. I forget what I did. I mean, I was a real jerk as a kid, much like I'm still a real jerk as an adult. So my mom wanted to punish me. She tells me to bend over, and she swings as hard as she can, spanks me one time, and I just turn around and laugh. And my brothers, their mouths just drop. And then she's like, "What? Bend over again. Bend over again." Spanks me hard a second time. I just turn around and laugh again. I had just reached this age where getting spanked with a wooden spoon, at least by my mother, was not affecting me anymore.
Mm.
Laughed again. My brothers are just in disbelief still. Tells me to bend over one more time. Swings as hard as she's probably ever swung anything in her life and breaks the wooden spoon over my ass.
Jeez.
I turn around, point, and laugh at the wooden spoon. My brothers start laughing, and she can't help but to laugh a little bit about that one as well. And then I got grounded for probably 2 weeks.
Oh, my gosh. That is awesome. Yeah, grounding took over for spanking as the more crucial punishment. That's
grounding
for sure.
Sucked.
Did suck. All right, Midday with Trey and BK. There's today's Where Are We At in Society Today story. Three women accused of running an elderly fight club among dementia patients in North Carolina. And the three women were workers, right? They weren't elderly They were workers at the old folks' home.
Responsible for taking care of the olds.
That is a scary, scary thought right there, my friend. But a nice find, a nice find by you for sure. All right, Midday with Trey and BK. It is Wednesday. It's a little after 11:40, which means we've got our Power Ranking Wednesday segment coming up. This week, we'll go from 5-1. The best musical decades of all time. Francis Scott Key, I'm looking at you. That's next.
Back here on Midday with Trey and BK, Justin Wells of Inside Texas joins us in about 15 minutes for his normal Wednesday noontime hit to talk about what happened in Dallas over the weekend with the Longhorns, any recruiting updates, and we will have to get his opinion as a Cowboys fan on what's going down in Big D, a third straight loss suffered by the Cowboys over the weekend to the lowly New York Jets. Right now it's time for our Wednesday Power Rankings, and it's sponsored by Audio Visual Consultations. Go to avconsultations.com to have Tom McKay hook you up with a fantastic home theater setup or something totally different. They've been helping out Austin homes and businesses for more than 30 years now, and they're happy to do so with you as well. Tom McKay, Audio Visual Consultations, avconsultations.com. BK, please provide us with an update on the Power Ranking Rankings?
Power Rankings results.
Results, thank you.
In our lifetime-long Power Rankings Wednesday bit here on Midday with Trey and BK. It's been a while since we've done one of these. I was out last Wednesday for Yom Kippur. We bailed on our Power Rankings Wednesday 2 weeks ago.
Because you were out Monday and Tuesday.
Because I was out Monday and Tuesday.
Wasn't very opportune.
Have we bailed 3 weeks in a row?
Yes, because the one before that would have been the Scottie Pippen topic, where we tried to go with best
famous people who have had their wives cheat on them with famous rappers.
Huh?
Scottie Pippen?
What happened?
Future. You don't know this story?
No, I know I know Scottie Pippen is a terrible tipper.
So
no tipping Pippen.
Scottie Pippen, his ex-wife,
okay,
married for a number of years, and Future is a very popular rapper these days. Mumble rapper, some would call him.
Okay.
And when Future was a kid, he tried to get Scottie Pippen's autograph one time, just after a game. And Scottie brushed him aside, kicked him to the curb, didn't sign anything for him.
Scottie's a jerk.
And Future says, at that moment, he vowed to ruin Scottie Pippen's life and sleep with his wife. And he did that.
Whoa!
When he got older.
What a stated goal that you make come true.
Yeah, Future basically is the reason for Scottie Pippen's divorce.
It's the one that was on Real Housewives of Atlanta, too, right?
And then he was dating Scottie Pippen's girl for a while.
Oh, man.
How about that? Talk about following through on your promises. You want to talk about walking the walk after talking the talk? There's Future.
That's resolve.
That's awesome.
Not usually a fan of holding grudges for that long, but kudos to Future for that one.
All right, so our results for Power Rankings Wednesdays. I am in the lead with 15 Power Rankings Wednesday victories. Trey, you are in second place with 13, including our most recent victories, in which we power ranked the best October sports to watch. You've got 13 victories with 4 asterisks. And Wags, a distant third place, 5.5. Power Rankings Wednesday victories.
Strong 5, though.
With 1 asterisk. Not a very strong 5. Very weak 5.5, might
half.
I add. So today's category, not sure why we decided to do this one. We just kind of decided to do this one.
Wags was playing what he considered to be bad 90s music yesterday, and we started talking about which was the worst musical decade.
Okay.
And then which was the worst decade in total. And it started out, our power ranking started out as ranking the decades, and we decided to limit it to musical decades.
So we are going musical decades from 5-1, one being the best. Who are we going to let go first today? Should we let Wags go first?
I think it's Wags' turn.
All right, Wags, 5-1, your favorite musical decades.
I'll go with the 2010s as number 5. I think we're all kind of prisoners in the moment, you know, at times. But, I mean, there are some decent artists out there, decent bands that are still doing it, some that are still getting, I guess, discovered. Sturgill Simpson is one that comes to mind.
Gary Clark Jr.
Gary Clark Jr. as well. Yeah, absolutely. So I guess, you know, not to be too much of a prisoner in a moment, I still have to give the 2010s their due. Number four for me, the 60s. You had the Beatles. You had a little bit of doo-wop coming in, or that might have been the latter portion of the 50s, but moving over into the 60s. But, yeah, I think the Beatles were just pretty dominant. The Detroit Spinners, maybe a little bit of Motown comes into this as well. Yeah, and then, obviously, the 70s has major British influence. That's number three for me, the 70s. Probably The Who with the Stones as well. American rock was pretty strong in the 70s also. And then the 90s for me, hip-hop, grunge. Hip-hop is really what led the 90s for me.
90s is two?
90s is number two, okay, for me. And then the 80s is number one. Give me Depeche Mode all day and every day, boys.
Depeche Mode, okay.
That's the band you go with?
Why chose the 80s?
I like Van Halen,
too. We should put Depeche Mode in parentheses with his 1980s listing.
That's another loss for Wags if we do that.
I know. I'm trying to help myself out here because I know my opinion of the 80s is going to sink me in with this one. But starting out for me, number five, much like Wags, got the 2010s. Thought the aughts was a weak decade musically, but the 2010s have started to turn things around. There are a number of artists that I'm discovering for the very first time, and I know this decade is almost over with, but I feel like the 2010s has brought music back in a sense. Number four for me, the 1980s. As much as I think it is an overrated musical decade, I also do have to recognize there is a lot of good music that came out of this decade. A little bit too synth-heavy for my likeness, but I do have to recognize that it is in the top four.
But the
number
coke
three
was pure.
The 1960s. Yeah, no kidding.
Yes, sir.
The 1960s, number three for me. That is the rise of hard rock and the increasing popularity of psychedelic rock, which is one of my favorite genres. Number two, 90s. It is the music of my childhood, even though some may consider it to be overrated. I also know how great it was for the sake of hip-hop and its evolution, and also for grunge music. Still love both those styles quite a bit. Number one for me, the 1970s. I think it is the best era of music. There are still some legendary bands that really started to make their mark in the 1970s, and that's why I have it number one.
No 2000s for you?
No 2000s. Right. No aughts.
I thought you had 2000s as number five.
2010s.
2010s is number five. All right, my list from 5 to 1, ranking the best musical decades of all time. I do have the aughts as my number five.
Okay.
I mean, that's my childhood.
That's true.
You've got some Nickelback in there.
Never made it as a white man.
Please make sure to put Nickelback in
parentheses. Green Day. You also had Eminem and 50 Cent and the rise of them. Boy bands were prominent.
Oh,
I mean, come on, it's like a 7 and 8 year old. Those guys were the NSYNC and Backstreet Boys were a big deal, baby.
See, yeah. I see Eminem as 99 or latter portion of the 90s. But yeah, 2000s is when he was.
But the Blink 182s, the Green Days of the world. That was big for me as a kid.
You didn't like Green Day?
Dookie.
Did as a kid.
Okay.
That's for sure.
Was Dookie still big back in.
Yeah. Yeah. Number four, the 60s.
Okay.
Beatles, Start of the Stones, Beach Boys, big Beach Boys guy. You had Elvis as well. I feel like 60s should be higher, but 60s is number four on my list. 90s is number three.
Okay.
Now, if it was grunge rock, if it was anything outside of rap music, the 90s would be below the 1800s, the 1700s, the 100s, whatever the hell they were doing for music back when Adam and Eve were roaming the earth. The 90s would be below that. But because of the rise of hip-hop with Pac and Big and Jay-Z and Snoop and Tribe and Wu-Tang and the list goes on, the golden age of hip-hop.
Absolutely.
Probably my favorite genre of music right there. The 90s is number three for me. Number two, the 80s.
Okay.
80s number two, The Boss, Bruce Springsteen, AC/DC, Queen, Guns N' Roses, Billy Joel, Michael Jackson,
Depeche
Van Halen.
Mode.
Depeche Mode a little bit lower on my list than Wags' list. But some classics from the 80s for sure, some
you
legendary
just listed
artists.
Some really good bands right there.
Thank you, sir. And I've got the 70s, number one as well.
Yeah.
More Stones in their prime. Depends. You could argue the 60s was Stones prime, but Led Zeppelin, Queen, disco music, The Who, Eagles, 70s.
The Bee Gees.
The Bee Gees, kind of 60s as well for them. But
disco.
Yeah. 70s.
Yeah, I know that was part of 70s, but sometimes we try to forget the worst part about a musical genre.
Well, the drugs, the parties, right? The drugs and parties.
The parties?
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Okay.
You don't remember those like I do, man. Some people couldn't handle all the drugs of the 70s, huh?
Big participant in Studio 54 is a negative 20-year-old, huh?
Yeah, it was a big deal for me, man. I was a part of all that stuff going on, and that's why the 70s is the greatest musical decade of all time. All right, you know the drill. We will tweet out our lists at the Horn ATX, and you have 24 hours to vote. Tell your friends to vote as well. The best musical decades of all time. And if you want to text in your thoughts, the Specs text line is always open, 337-3776. Justin Wells of Inside Texas is going to join us next. We'll talk Texas OU. What went wrong for the Longhorns? How did the coaches get out-coached as badly as they did this past Saturday? And updates on the recruiting front. It was a home game for Texas up at the Cotton Bowl, so the Longhorns were able to host some visitors against Oklahoma. We'll ask Justin how those visits went next.